Okay, and we're back. And hour three. This is our second Halloween program with Brad and I, and we have one more coming up, and I'll bet you can all guess what day that's going to be. Give you a hint, it's next week, and it's not Monday. Does that narrow it down any, Brad?
I think that does.
Okay.
You know, we had an extra one this month, too, and I have been getting such beautiful email with our interview, our evening with Ray Harryhausen.
How nice.
People really enjoyed that, and I know we did, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the talking to a master, a true master. Not many of those around. A pioneer, so many accolades you can hang on the man. He's still at it. He's still doing it.
Yeah. Well, now we have another master, of course, Gordon Melton of Vampires. Gordon, you know, one movie I really enjoyed, a vampire movie of recent vintage, was Near Dark.
Oh, yes, yes. It's one of the great movies of all time.
What? Well, you agree.
One of the great movies of all time, Near Dark?
Yeah.
Well, when did this come out? I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Came out in 87.
Well, it's 20 years
wasn't
old.
Wasn't it, Gordon? Am I right?
Somewhere right in there, yes.
What's it about?
It's about a small cadre of vampires who are traveling around the country, and they are, along with the mayhem they're creating, they recruit a clean-cut young farm boy who falls in love with one of the vampire women. And it's the story of how they work out their relationship.
Huh. Who's starting that?
The thing that was so great to me, Jeff, because I've done a lot of driving at night. Uh-huh. I pulled into a lot of all-night diners. I pulled into a lot of...
I've places. Heard about you in all-night diners, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I've done a lot of night traveling. I mean, mm-hmm. in the early days of doing research... Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I've never had grants or aid. When I get an advance, nearly all of it goes into the research. And so I'd get in the station wagon and drive all the way across country, but most often by myself.
Wow.
And stop in and you look around at some of the people in the diners. And, you know, I could just visualize that this would be the perfect situation for vampires, as in this movie.
ETs.
Well, or ETs. But
sitting around,
case,
looking like people, just watching.
Yeah, just watching. But in this movie, you see, that's how they travel. They travel at night. They visit diners, and that's where they select their victims. And in the daytime, they just pull into a motel. They seal the windows completely mm-hmm. and sleep during the day.
Who was in this film?
Well, one of my Lance Henriksen. You know, that says it right there.
Jackie Gleason?
Lance Henriksen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Bill Paxton, before he was, you know, had gained too much clout. Adrian mm-hmm. Pasdar, before he had too much under his belt. Tim Thomerson, great character.
How do you know all this? That movie really did ingrain itself in you.
Oh, I've got my own copy, which I view. I thought that was just the... Right. That caught what... could really be. I mean, mm-hmm. if they were true vampires, mm-hmm. or if they were blood drinkers and forcing this. And I'm delighted to hear my old buddy Gordon agrees with me.
Where did
I just saw Lance in a movie last night, Out for Blood, which made a couple of years ago. So he's still at it. And, he has a handful of vampire movies to his credit.
Mm-hmm. Right, he does.
Where does this all go, Gordon? It's an old, legendary piece of our mythology. It's been brought forward. Do you expect it? I guess it'll be a permanent part of our cultural and entertainment landscape.
It's become a very, very, mm-hmm. very permanent part of it now. We keep thinking that, you know, the latest push has got to come to an end and somewhere it's got to turn down. But it just isn't doing that. And... It's just become a very much ingrained in the culture and a metaphor that we use all the time, and now it's just become a part of us.
The the concept of the movies, I wish they would, I wish the movies coming out would be the low key, like Near Dark. Believable. I mean, the, as you said, the first Blade, okay. But then, you know, the special effects and the gigantic, that's why I wasn't that crazy about Underworld. I just thought, you know, the special effects, the werewolf versus vampire movie, and, I get a lot of email from a lot of different people, and many people were writing me and saying, do we have to worry? Is there really a war between vampires and werewolves? So I guess that the movie convinced some people that this conflict existed.
I'm amazed at what some people will believe is going on around us.
We were, how shall we say, you and I were talked into doing a documentary for that, which they ended up using as a promotional vehicle for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one, wasn't it? Yeah, that was for Underworld.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right, for Underworld, not for
Near Dark.
Near Dark.
No. That I would have loved to.
A little early for...
Yeah, right. Now, Dracula. Who's your quintessential Dracula?
I'm a Frank Langella fan. And
Frank Langella.
I enjoyed Langella's Dracula as much as any of them. And I, of course, still have an appreciation for Bela Lugosi and for the kind of sales job that he did on the on Dracula. But I like Langella's interpretation best of all.
Now, whenever any poll is taken, and we were dealing with that early in the program. We did the 10 top real-life monsters, but in the 10 top movie monsters, the Bela Lugosi, Dracula, still wins the most votes. Do you think he's just become archetypal in terms of what a vampire is?
He's certainly become our image of what a vampire is, and I think the movie in black and white and like still... Excuse me. Does a very good job of conveying the horror of it. The later movies, you know the story so well, you know what's going to happen, and it's very very hard for the more recent forms of that Dracula has taken on the screen to be scary.
And, true.
So they have to go to something else that's much
which is
more
sex.
Sex are something that's a more mundane kind of terror of serial killing.
Now I think in terms of accuracy with the original novel, that although I didn't care for the movie that much, I thought the Gary Oldman interpretation really was more the way Dracula is described in the original novel. He has a mustache. He does change into a wolf as well as a bat. I suppose Gary Oldman didn't quite have the height that we come to associate with Dracula. We he's always been portrayed by a tall man,
especially since Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
I think you're quite right in terms of adhering to the novel and particularly the plot line and carrying as many of the subplots as you could possibly get into a movie. What they did do in the movie was they picked up the stuff on Vlad the Impaler,
right?
Which of course is not part of the novel.
But
it got put in by Dan Curtis into the movie set for the Jack Palance Dracula, and has kind of stuck with us ever since.
Now, Vlad the Impaler just now seems to be an integral part of the Dracula myth.
And oh, yeah.
I keep telling, you know, Vlad the Impaler was not a vampire. He was just kind of a typical, brutal dictator of his time.
Very much so. Particularly brutal. But, you know, given what has happened in Romania with the Romanians... picking up on it and seeing this as a good tourist thing to attract people to Romania. And I'm amazed at what's still being printed out there, even after all of Elizabeth Miller's work, to keep tying Vlad and the Dracula together. And I guess you're right, it's going to go on for quite a while.
Well, if we have a Hungarian who's a vampire, of course, it would be Elizabeth Bathory.
Right. Well, she's actually a Slovakian.
A Slovakian. Yeah.
All right. Stand by. We'll take a break. Come right back. Our final segment tonight with our second special guest of the evening, J. Gordon Melton. Dr. Melton continues with Brad and I after this. Okay, we're back, and Brad Steiger is here, and we're listening to Gordon Melton. Go ahead, Gordon. Anything you want to add to your presentation tonight? We really appreciate it.
Well, we probably should point out that the hottest thing going in vampires right now is Laurel Hamilton. Her novels are the ones that are kind of jumping off the bookstore shelves. Up to about 16 or 17 of them now that are hitting the bestseller list pretty regularly. And so that's one of the things that's happening. It's also the case that in the vampire field that romance novels are where it's happening. And there are several new people who've come on the scene the last couple of years that have really become stars in the romance field. And Nora Roberts, who is one of the most popular, she must have 100 romance novels out, has just released a vampire trilogy.
So these are a specific vampire and his conquests through the ages, or are they individual love stories where vampires meet, or
well, most of them are the ones that have made a hit. Charlene Harris's novels, for example, trace a young Southern gal who's in the second novel becomes a vampire. She meets up and starts dating a vampire in the first one, becomes a vampire in the second one, and then it's her further adventures. These are rather comical, humorous set of novels, but the ones who've done a series of novels, some of them are very serious. Charlene Fien, Christine Fien, has now done about 12 novels with the Carpathians, as she calls them. This is the whole vampire race, and each novel picks out different stories of members of the race and traces them through time. And but these are all in the romance genre.
All in romance. Now,
right.
Again, these are themes that have been with us for centuries, certainly the last couple centuries, but I don't think ever expressing themselves in that type of literary.
Yeah, you begin to get. These were showing up in the 60s as gothic novels.
Gothic novels.
And then they, you began to get the vampire not as villain but as good guy. And once that was posed, the true romantic vampire began to appear in the 70s. And the main thing that's happened has been the development of publish-on-demand and this new form of self-publishing. And probably half of the vampire novels that have been published in the last decade have been published on demand books.
Really? Really? And now, how do you go about making a vampire a good guy?
Well, you turn his strength and his abilities into something that works in general
Wasn't there one good vampire at some point? It seems to me there was in a film, or at least someone who was playing it for comic relief. Can't remember what, though. They weren't all bad. I mean, they're all bad, but they weren't all bad.
Well, maybe Hamilton and, what was it, Love at First Bite, or...
I don't know. Maybe, but I'm not.
I mean, no, he was Dracula, wasn't he? Then
he was a vampire.
Yeah, he was a comic Dracula.
Comic Dracula.
You really got to see it first, I think, in Forever Night, the television series, where the vampire is trying to reform and redeem himself, and he becomes a cop in Toronto, and he works the night shift, and he uses his abilities to catch bad guys.
And lunch with them. Right.
Right. And then in the Buffy series, you have Angel, and then last year, the Spike. Vampires with souls who are trying to do good.
Right. And there, of course, you just said it. The twist is, in the Buffy series, he was trying to regain his soul. And then spun off into his own series.
Right.
Very good. Gordon, we're just about out of time. Any final comment real quick?
Well, those are, I think, the main things that we wanted to say. The vampire is certainly still with us. We still have the people who want to be vampires, the people who think they are vampires, and then the great mass of us who just really get a kick out of watching vampires and reading vampire novels.
And we should mention your encyclopedia has gone into about its 20th edition now, I think. You keep adding to it. It keeps going for you, doesn't it?
It does. We're talking seriously now about a next edition. It's been enough years and enough things have changed. There really is a very different vampire scene than there was 5 years ago.
Yes, especially when you're talking this romantic, because when I think of vampire, of course, I think of Nosferatu. I can't see snuggling up to Nosferatu.
I wonder how the costume derby is going. How many dress up as vampires anymore?
I haven't kept up with the costume derbies. Most I hear are about, just the one or two that come along that, somehow are the new issue in the pop culture.
Uh-huh.
The vampire and the witch are two very, very steady items.
Right. I'm sure we'll have a lot of little Draculas here next week.
Thank you, Gordon, for being here again.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to try and give some more goodies away and maybe take a quick walk and urge all of you to take a look at all of our Halloween splash entries at the top of Rents.com. There's some really creative things there, and enjoy them. That's what they're there for. We'll be right back. Ghost voices.
That was strange.
You like that?
That was strange.
Listen a little more here. Like that?
Yeah, and it brings back a lot of kind of shivers to me, because there are so many of the houses, quote unquote, haunted that I investigated, and that's kind of what you hear. You hear just little bits and pieces of faraway voices, and you're sitting there so desperately trying to make out, now what did they say? Uh-huh. And then if you're not careful, of course, your imagination takes over, and you start thinking they're speaking to you, and you have to keep going over in your mind. Those are just like recordings. So no more than those voices, those distorted voices, were speaking to me personally, Brad Steiger. That's what you can so easily get pulled into the machinations of a haunting and lose control. And when you are investigating, you've got to be in control.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's very interesting piece of music. It's got about three or four different levels going on.
Yeah.
Neat stuff. If you look on the right side of Rents.com, you'll see, just scroll down a little bit, you'll see Jeff Rents Presents Cosmic Radio. A little icon there. For all of you who have sound, tune that in the evenings, especially right after the program. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you'll hear there. The new music.
Nice Halloween music.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's, shall we say, try again to give something away here?
Yeah, well, I sent that one question out. Has anyone responded to that? Or maybe
no.
They didn't think we were...
No. Nope.
Okay,
no.
I'll do it again.
Let me give the phone number again.
Okay, go ahead.
800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231.
Okay. We've been talking about Christopher Lee and his impersonation of Dracula. He also played Fu Manchu in a lot of sinister characters, including in the Star Wars, recent Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
But to which regal family was he related? Which regal family was he related?
Now, why do I remember this from the last program?
Because we had...
Didn't somebody get it?
No.
No, it was that I got it. It was the what we thought was we didn't know it was in another book, and there was another person named.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, I
swear
it
was somebody answered that. Maybe it was an email to me later on. I don't remember.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's one question. How about another question?
All right.
Should I play some music, or you got? I'm gonna do a question.
This is interesting, and, you know, I'll give or take a few points on it. On the other hand, someone can probably Google it. There was an extensive national survey taken this September. What percent of the population claims to have experienced some form of telepathy? What percent of the population? This was the most extensive survey that's been done of spiritual and religious beliefs in many, many years.
When was this done?
Pardon me?
When was it done?
September of this year. So, of course, that will give many clues to people. But I thought this was an interesting
question.
You mean
like 3 weeks ago?
Like 3 weeks ago.
Hmm. All right.
A very recent survey. What percent of the population claims to have experienced some form of telepathy, knowing what someone's thinking, knowing when the telephone's going to ring, knowing when what that person's going to say to you, knowing when the person ahead of you, what that person seems to be thinking, and then seeing something to demonstrate that you were correct? I mean, what some form of telepathy. What percent of the population?
Unable to sleep at night because someone else is in your head?
Something like that. That could happen, too.
I wouldn't have any idea, but I could guess.
Yeah.
Because but family members and employees are not allowed to participate. So I can't participate. 800-259-9231. All of you folks can. What are we giving away, by the way?
We're giving away copies. Well, for this one, we'll give away a copy of J.J. Harper's Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century.
Very good. And we have two questions out there.
We have two questions out there.
Well, we should maybe put another one out there. Running out of questions yet?
Oh, I never run out of questions.
I know.
This, I think, is also... Okay, I mean, people are going to find it. I don't care, because we're in a giving mood, and we're in a happy mood, and it's trick-or-treat time, right?
Right.
What percentage in this great survey, this huge survey of people in America, believe or accept the evidence of the paranormal?
Well, I think I could guess at that, too. Do you have to be right on the money?
No, we'll allow. We'll give a little, but, you know, it's got to be reasonably close. Okay.
Oh, we're waiting. Any calls in the studio? You've got them perplexed. Got a break here. Get some when we come back here. Hold on, gang. We'll be right back. And three questions out there. We should look at also some of these splash art entries while we're waiting and when we come back. I haven't looked at them all because there are more. They're all in now, but
they're fabulous. They're incredible. I don't know how we're going to judge.
See, there must be over 60. Over 60 of them.
Incredible.
Some of them look like they might be reportable to the Department of Homeland Security. Let's hope not. It's all in fun, boys and girls out there listening. It's all in fun.
All in fun. War. All in fun. And there are some tremendous... I don't know. This is going to be tough.
Look at that. War of the Pumpkins.
It's going to be tough.
You can enlarge all these. Look at that. Very good work. Jeez. That's slick. Those are good enough for a calendar.
Good stuff, really, really.
What talented people you are out there. Just great. Rachel's on the phone from California. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the program. What is, first of all, which question are you going to try to answer?
Oh, I have to try and answer a question, huh?
You got three of them to choose from. Answer all three and win the secret. What is it?
Win a car?
Yes, we could do that. It might be very small.
Well, maybe Rachel called in with a question or a comment.
No, she's got a guess, too.
I think I have a guess. Christopher Lee, I should probably know this, but it is a guess, I admit. I love his work. I think he's a great actor. I think he is of English descent. Well, I'm pretty sure of that. But I think his family was honored by the Roman Empire. I think the family name would be Carandini.
You nailed it, Rachel.
Are you serious?
I am serious. The Carandinis, of Rome. He is
but
the
I don't think it's the bloodline. I think it was one of those gifty type things that was bestowed on them, on the Carandini family.
Yeah, well,
no, in either case. How did you know?
At any rate, you got it.
How did you know,
thought
Rachel?
I had read that.
Well, you got a good memory.
You had.
Oh, yeehaw.
You want to try for a clean sweep? There are two other questions on there.
Okay, I'll take a go.
See? What's, all right, do you remember the other questions? I don't.
Well, I believe, the second one was relative to gravity? No.
No. In a recent survey, percent of the population claims to have experienced some form of telepathy?
Oh, gosh. That's, I'd say a good 75% on that.
I'd say the same thing. What does Brad say?
I don't know. I think we're going to go with it. We better cut Rachel off here.
Oh, no.
No. You got it. You got it. It's 80%. I said you could be so much one way or the other. 80% of the American population. This was, in case people are saying, who did that study? Baylor University, Institute for the Studies of Religion, conducted this.
Now listen, that's
a good guess, Rachel, and that's close enough.
So,
two out of three.
You're a double winner.
All right, let's see if she can get the third.
Do you know how many people were polled?
Oh, it was an extraordinary number. It's all across the United States. This is the most extensive. USA Today carried it. That's where I saw it. It's the most extensive survey of religious paranormal beliefs that's ever been conducted.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess that based on my own experience of how many people I've personally talked to who've claimed to have that sort of ability.
Yeah. It's that high. 80%.
All right. Let's give her the third question, see if she can sweep the house.
Okay. That's fine with me.
For a car, right?
For the car. Okay, let's see. I think the third one was, in that same survey conducted by Baylor University Institute for Studies of Religion, what percent of the American population, and I don't like to use this word, but, for purposes of conveyance, believes in the paranormal?
What percentage of the population? I would say 65%.
No, I think I'll have to call you on that one, but you're still a double winner.
Oh, great. Well, two out of three ain't bad.
That ain't bad at all.
Wonderful performance. Stay on the line. We're running short on time here, but stay on the line and give our producer your correct spelling of your name and so forth, phone number, and shipping address so we can get your prizes off to you.
Okay, well, thanks so much, and I love the show. Great topic.
Thank you. Thanks,
Thank
Rachel.
You.
Thanks very much. Well, good job. All right, I would have guessed on the last one, 85 to 90 would be my range.
Believe in the paranormal?
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's a legitimate guess.
Not going to embarrass me. See how out of step I am. I don't know anyone.
I didn't say one way or the other, but, relatives are not eligible to compete.
That's right. And illegitimate children and all the rest of it.
And all the rest.
I don't know anyone, honestly, who doesn't believe that there is some kind of paranormal dimension to what we call life.
Well, you should live where I do.
Well, that's why I don't. Gee. All right. Well, I guess they run people out of town for less than that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very... I live in a very tolerant area.
We'll hold the question over for next time. If we have time next time.
Well, boy, we're going to be packed. Packed next time. We've got the... splash art rather. We have the short stories. We'll be reading the winners. We'll be giving away a lot of prizes next week. And then, of course, we have who better to have on Halloween than Raymond Buckland, the man who brought Wicca to the United States.
Yeah, you're really getting in. Ray is going to be back again.
Wow. Ray is going to be back again.
He's the man.
That's what I asked him. I said, who better can we have on Halloween than you?
And other things, too, so we have a lot going on.
A lot going on.
All right, let's do our musical goodnight to everyone and come right back and say goodnight again.
I'll see you. Hold you in my dreams. Someone took you out of my arms. Still I feel the thrill of your charms. Lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light my way tonight. I'll see you.
Okay, as we wind down another program, I don't know how we're going to pick winners in this. This is just awesome. The amount of entries, the competence, the talent, the vision, the wit, the juxtaposition of things. It's really there, all of it. It's all there.
And think of the way it's grown. The number of entries have grown from our first Halloween contest.
Yeah.
To now, I mean, it's that in itself is phenomenal.
Yeah, what we're going to have to do is end up like one of these beauty pageants, fifth runner-up, fourth runner-up, third runner-up. It's just, but even that'll be hard.
We've
got over 60 entries here.
That'll be hard.
And fortunately, the entries, all of you, even if you don't win, those of you who have gone to the trouble and the pleasure, hopefully, of contributing, your works will be up permanently on Brad's page with all the other things. Brad and Sherry's page year-round. Don't forget to go there, even if they're not on. We have tons of stuff up there, some of it going back. I was thinking the other day about some of the material we have that goes way back.
Way back, yeah.
And fun stuff. Fun stuff. And we always are interested in your stories, too. Don't forget that. Ghost stories, encounters, things you can't understand, explain, or otherwise come to terms with. If you would like to come on the program, Simon, some month, some week in the future, we're always happy to have you. So let us know.
And those who are shy, if you send the stories, We'll be happy to read them. We'll protect your anonymity. You don't have to worry about that.
And we'll protect your identity, too.
That's right. Both.
Yeah. That's, yeah, we do it all here, folks. Thank you, my friend. I will see you, next Tuesday?
Tuesday. Thank you, and many blessings to all of our listeners, and happy Halloween coming up. It's going to be a big one.
Give Lady Sherry a hug.
Will do.
All right, good night.
Good night.
And good night to all of you great people. We'll talk to you next Monday. In the meantime, we'll be with you, of course, at Rents.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Think good thoughts. And eat good food. Remember, we are not only what we think, but what we eat. Talk soon.